Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday
to the church. Today is Pentecost Sunday, the day that the Holy Spirit came down and the church was born. I'm Pastor Lynn, the associate pastor here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the place where we know God, love God, and serve God. Pastor Lindsay's going to be sharing a message about that Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit makes a difference in our lives. We have worship leaders today, Randy Clausen and Bruce Stark, and I do have a few announcements. First of all, the all-church picnic is coming on Sunday, June 11th. It's going to be by the water. It's going to be at Whitmore Lake campus. It's going to be wonderful. You should come. Sign up on your connection card. Turn it over. You can sign up right there or on the website. Also coming soon, the rummage sale. And if you've got stuff, you can start bringing it in this Tuesday down in the lower level in room 109. And finally, if you'd like to be part of a group that's going to attend a Lansing Lugnuts baseball game in July, the time to register online is now. Register by June 4th. You can get more information about all that in the bulletin. And please be sure to fill out that connection card. When you put that stuff on the back, you need to also put your name and so on the front so we know that you're here. If you have prayers in your heart, please let us know on the prayer cards. We want to pray with you. And now I invite you to stand for our opening hymn, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. And if you need the hymnal, number 500.
Yeah. me in this Pentecost litany. We have come to celebrate the birthday of the church.
We've come to celebrate the gift of the Holy Spirit.
We have come to celebrate Pentecost and to open ourselves to God's Spirit that it might fill us. Oh God, help us to put our selfish desires aside and direct our thoughts to you, that your power might fill this church and our lives fully, just as it has filled churches and people throughout the ages. Teach us to be your church and your people. Amen.
Today's reading is Acts 2:1-13. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the heavens there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at the sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all those who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine."
And the scripture lesson continues. The scripture lesson continues from in chapter 2, picking up at the 14th verse. So some thought that they were filled with new wine, but Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. Fellow Israelites," right, you can get that humor there, "fellow Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him and among you, you know yourselves, why this man was handed over to you according to the defined plan and the foreknowledge of God, and you crucified and killed him in the hands of those outside of the law. But God raised him up, having released him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its powers. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Oh, brothers, what should we do?" And Peter said to them, "Well, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And testifying with many other arguments and exhortations to them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." And so that day, those who welcomed this message were baptized, and that day, about 3,000 persons were added. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Thank you, Randy, for sharing and reading of the gospel message this morning, the scripture message this morning. Won't you please join me in prayer? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us and mold us. Fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. May your scripture words ring in our ears this morning, that we might hear this lesson, wrestle with the passage, and come to see what you might share with us this morning. Holy and precious, loving God, we lift our hearts up to you this day. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight. You are rock and redeemer. Amen. Well, this is the birthday of the church, and after worship, we will be having cake. Yes, there is cake in Fellowship Hall, and I can imagine there's balloons, and you're wearing your Pentecost red, so you're doing great. Happy birthday, church. The gifts are abundant, but we maybe don't see them in packages this morning, but they are there as we celebrate the birthday of the church. This scripture lesson this morning tells this story of Pentecost. And we come to this grand and this glorious, also this very odd and bewildering story where people are literally accused of having had wine in the morning. And there's this experience where the Holy Spirit descends upon the people. And the crowd then in Jerusalem hears of this in awe and wonder, and being very curious as to what is taking place, they come to see and pay attention. This mysterious story of Pentecost brings forth the Holy Spirit, and then it sets up Peter to come and to speak and to testify to the crowd. Those crowds that have been gathered for this season of Pentecost, this time in Pentecost, it's now 50 days after the Passover celebration. And so speaking up to testify to the faith and to clarify, no, these people among us have not been having wine this morning, he articulates this odd, sometimes mysterious, sometimes bewildering story of Jesus Christ. He preaches the gospel, and he condenses it tightly within just a few scripture verses, as Randy and I shared this morning. And from that message of sharing that Christ died and was resurrected then, the most beautiful thing took place. The people, right then and there, with their hearts, I think, strangely warmed, kind of like John Wesley, they respond with faith. It is on this day of Pentecost that not only that this rushing wind and flames of fire come about, and it wasn't only on this day that Peter preaches, but we get the detail that it wasn't just a few people that decided to profess faith in Christ. But did you catch how many people in the scriptures? were baptized and believed that day. Did you catch that? If you caught the detail, feel free to shout it out. 3,000! 3,000 people. When we do baptisms, when we do confirmations here at the church, maybe there'll be 3 or 5 or 10 confirmation students. Maybe there'll be a couple of baptism families and young children or adults. But 3,000? Can you imagine being at a gathering where there's 3,000 people that profess faith in Jesus Christ and are baptized? I think if this was out at Whitmore Lake, we would like take over the entire Whitmore Lake experience out there on the water. And that day marked the birth date of the church as the Holy Spirit showed up. And I'll tell you, when the Holy Spirit shows up, she's one bad sister. You never know what she might be up to. Because 3,000 people professed faith. And 2,000 years later, we gather still wearing our Pentecost red, because this is a moment to remember. Praise God. It's a moment of the early church. It's a moment of a story of faith. It's a moment of blessing and commissioning and sending us forth. We've been talking about this sermon series, Moments to Remember, and whether it's been Reverend Sue Patu from last week as she preached, or Pastor John, or Bruce Stark will be coming up next week, or today, we've all been preaching on different moments to remember in the life of faith, scriptures that speak. Well, certainly this is a moment to remember as 3,000 people professed faith, as the Spirit descends upon them, and that births the church. So think about this scripture passage and the baptisms that must have taken place that day. It got me thinking about particular baptisms that have stuck out to me in my time in ministry, but I'll have to tell you I'm biased because I have 2 baptisms that stand out to me. Do you know how many kids I have?
2.
All right, you're going to get their stories. So there's a first baptism picture we can show here. All right, this is a story. This is my son's baptism. Joshua was baptized when he was about seven months old, and his baptism took place at annual conference. In the picture, there's Bishop Deborah Leader Kesey there, as well as Reverend Melanie Carey. She's on the left-hand side, and the bishop is holding a paper in her hand. And Joshua is always this active little guy and this curious little soul, and so we kind of waited outside until it was the baptism moment, and then we came in, right? Your parents are always anxious about their children making a little bit of noise in church, their glorious sounds. And we came in, and it was time for the baptism, and Joshua is kind of leaning in and looking and listening and curious about what is going on with these bright lights all around. And then comes the moment where the bishop reached into the baptism font. She reached in and she scooped the water and she started to say, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and then the Son and the Holy Spirit." And Joshua kind of looks at her and like bats the hand away. "What are you doing, lady? What is this wet stuff upon my head?" Oh, those baptism waters that called him and claimed him as a beautiful child of God. Even if we try to bat it away and don't really always understand what's going on. When Lydia was born, we ended up, you can go to picture number 2 if you want. When Lydia was born, we celebrated her baptism also on her first birthday weekend. And in this picture, you can see the gentleman with his hand out on Lydia. That is Reverend Mike Seymour. That's John's grandfather. He's a retired United Methodist elder. And the gentleman, the pastor holding Lydia, is our good friend, Reverend Dan Hart. And in that moment, Lydia didn't bat away the hands that were placing the water. The second child knows to step in line and not, act up, I guess. But it was a beautiful moment to place the baptismal waters. There's a couple more pictures if you want to show. And there's one more, maybe. And I remember that day. The little story about this is you see Lydia's little black patent shoes there. I wore those at the time of my baptism. So that was a fun little moment to remember in the lives of my children's baptism. Well, Joshua and Lydia had this moment that I will always remember. Perhaps you remember the baptismal moment of maybe yourself if you were baptized as an adult or your own children or your grandchildren. And quite often, those are sacred, beautiful moments because the water becomes the sign of God claiming them and blessing them and calling them and commissioning them out then to follow in Jesus' footsteps and blessing them that they are a part of the community of faith, God's beloved child, marked by the baptismal waters of grace. Quite often, it's interesting, as people are standing around the baptismal font, maybe the congregation can zero in on the vows that are being shared, but sometimes the parents, as they're worried about their little toddler or their baby, you know, that goes in one ear and out the other just a little bit, if you've ever been in that experience. But when we think about the baptismal vows, when we really look at the baptismal vows, if we're diving into it and pause it for a moment, it's something for us to remember and to meditate upon. The baptismal vows, do you remember? They go like this. We say, on behalf of the whole church, when the pastor asks, they say, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and do you reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? Do you reject the wickedness and the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? And the second vow, when we hear them shared, that says, do you accept the freedom, the power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms that they present themselves? Then the pastor asks, do you profess faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages and nations and races? And the last vow that you'll hear the pastor say is, according to the grace given to you, will you remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world? I don't know what the maybe early baptismal vows were, if they had any, for that early gathered community of faith. When those 3,000 folks were baptized, I don't know what vows that were shared, but when we look at our United Methodist baptism vows, it gets us thinking and it gets us wondering and it gets us pondering and trying to think about those moments when we've seen that lived out in the world. Can you recall the last moment you've seen somebody resisting evil and injustice and oppression to which Christ calls us? Can you think about the moment most recently when you've seen a Christ representative in the world? I can think of those moments all the time. Seeing Christ's representatives in the world. Can you? When was the last time that you saw and experienced God at work in the world through somebody here, or in your own family member, or in your own heart? We celebrate this as the birthday of the church, and it becomes a grand and glorious celebration. And parties always have gifts and always have like the... what are those things called? The party blowers. And it's a celebration. And we celebrate today, whatever those things are called, those party blowers. We celebrate today because our faith is joy-filled, and it's a party to be able to live it out in the world. We come today celebrating the goodness of God and the joy that it is that we get to live out these vows in the world. that we get to be called to go forth resisting evil and injustice and oppression, that we get to be called to be Christ's representatives in the world. And that's good, and that's glorious. But it's hard work. And so this day, I pray that you may go forth with the grace with you, knowing that you don't do it by yourself, because it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us and enables us to do it, helping us to live those lives of love and joy and peace and patience, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and generosity, those spiritual gifts that the Spirit gives us. Hallelujah. I think of 3,000 people and what a party and what a celebration that must have been. Can you just close your eyes and think on that for a moment? And look around this room. And as we see 100-plus people gathered here, as we think about our own vows this day, and as we think about the work this week to which Christ will send us, and the ways we'll be able to represent Christ in the world, I think that's a great and grand party as well. So let's continue worshiping and praise God and celebrate with some cake and go out into this world to make an impact. Christ calls us. And the Spirit enables us. Let's pray. Loving God, we praise you for your presence with us this day. Come, Holy Spirit, come and take and transform our world. Heal a broken people and bring goodness and grace into our lives. Those of us that find ourselves in fear or in doubt, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill this church and this place of worship. Empower us to go forth in service in your name. Come, Holy Spirit, come. That we, like the early church, might run and share your message far and wide. For it is a beautiful, blessed message to share, and one that we can't keep to ourselves. As Christ's representatives in the world, we go living these baptismal vows in Christ's name. Amen.
Soon, we are going to see the King. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen. Very, very nice. Thank you. Got me all riled up, and we're ready to go. God is good. Sorry, Marty, I didn't mean to scare you. All the time. I want you to call your attention to these two beautiful prayer quotes we have. They are for Dave Gastila and the Aldrich family. And on your way out, please stop at the table. Tie a knot. As you're tying the knot, say a prayer, then sign the card and let them know that we're surrounding them in the warmth of the quilt and the warmth of our love. Now will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Glorious God of goodness and mercy, how great are your gifts to us and to all your children. You are our help and strength in all the times of our lives. We pray for our quilt recipients, Dave and the Aldriches, and ask that you surround them with your love, that they feel the warmth of the quilt along with the warmth of our prayers and our thoughts for them. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We feel your love. We keep our eyes, our ears, and our hearts open to your word, to your love, and to your blessings. Encourage our friends and family, our neighbors, that they may find the ability to love as you do, to care for each other, and to show your love to those that need it. Reveal your goodness to all who cannot attend today. Strengthen and sustain them. Teach us how we can best support and encourage them to show them your love. Encourage those that are struggling and wrestling, looking for help. Those that are struggling at home, struggling with damaged and broken relationships. Those that are struggling with health issues. Those that are struggling with financial burdens. Help them understand that in their time of need, your love is always there for them. That you give your blessings to those in need of your strength, your love, and your hope. For Memorial Day, we remember those who have made the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms we enjoy every day. We think of how they have followed in the footsteps of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also remember the families and friends of those that have lost loved ones, protecting our freedoms, and we ask for your unique blessings to fill their homes, and we pray your peace, provision, and strength will fill their lives. And from the internet I found, for Pentecost, we say, beautiful Lord, may we say yes to you so that the Spirit in our hearts will once again be set ablaze. Spirit of wisdom, guide our actions so that they tell of God's love. Spirit of truth, open our eyes to see the world as it really is. Spirit of power, enthuse us to work for justice throughout the world. Spirit of love, inspire us to respect the dignity of each person. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. Come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Oh God, in this time of worship, we give thanks that you are ever with us. We thank you for your presence in our midst. Enable us always to be grateful for all that you give us, lest we take your goodness for granted. Now we come to you seeking, searching, and looking to you as we offer to you our concerns and petitions, as well as praises, in this time of silent prayer and meditation. Now we come to you as your children, seeking to learn, seeking to love, seeking to share in the name of your holy and precious Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Pastor Lindsay mentioned that I was going to be speaking to you next week, and the topic is Moments to Remember, so I was going to give you a little teaser to let you know what I was going to be speaking on, but I can't remember. So remember, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Amen.
You know, on Memorial Day, we feel gratitude, and we think about what are the ways that we can give something the way others have given so much to protect us. And on Pentecost, one way to say happy birthday is through the gifts that we share in our offering. Consider the difference that our gifts can make in the lives of so many people, whether in this community or across the world. So here's a video showing one of the ways that some of our gifts might make a difference.
About three times in the last, almost 4 years, instead of, you know, having some savings, we end up putting it to rent or, you know, budgeting to move every other year. So that's, you could imagine how stressful that can be.
It's a two-bedroom and we have a family of five, so space is tight. The kids were the main reason why we applied for Habitat, you know, knowing that we wanted a stable home for our whole family.
One of the many great things about Habitat is that it is a hand up, not a hand out. After a Habitat family is approved for a home, they are required to earn 250 sweat equity hours.
What I remember about applying to Habitat was it was a pleasant surprise.
I mean, through the Habitat program, it's just tailored so that you could have the basics of home ownership. You know, I think the program has helped us a lot, and I think we are quite ready to be, you know, new homeowners now.
Working with Leticia and Omar, they love this house. They work really hard. The first day they were out here, they worked on the yard, and they just had so many plans. I feel there is a big sense of pride in our families owning their own home, especially one that they built with their own hands alongside with volunteers.
Some of the tasks that I've worked on was picking out our flooring and our countertop that's going to be inside the home. I enjoyed it. Me picking out what I liked, knowing that it's going to be inside our home.
I think Omar and Leticia's children are going to be very excited about this home. They'll each have their own bedroom. They'll have a space that they can call their own and explore being who they are.
Getting to own our own home would impact our family in, you know, big ways. The kids and us will have a stable place to play, like in the backyard. Being a family unit as well would make a big difference.
I'm part of the dedication that happens with the families right before they're going to close on their home, where they invite their family, their friends, and inevitably everybody ends up crying. I always cry, the family cries, because it is a dream coming true.
You can just see the excitement, the appreciation, and just the overall joy of them owning their own house for the first time in their life. And that knowing that their kids are gonna grow up in this house is just something that is hard to put into words.
Owning a home is special no matter what, but the Habitat process makes you feel connected to the bigger picture, you know. Habitat does so much good in the community, making families achieve something that is otherwise unachievable. Just knowing that people come out of their way just to help you build your house makes a big difference. The ultimate benefit of being a homeowner would be the feeling of unity and belonging, you know. You could go around everywhere, go to work, go to school, but at the end of the day you will come back and call it home, and you know, as a one unit family, everyone would, you know, expect to see mom, expect to see dad, expect to see little sister and brother. And, you know, I think that would be a very beautiful thing to realize, you know.
And now I invite the ushers to come forward.
Lord of wind and sky, you are in us and work through us. We bring gifts from what you have first given us. Help them grow and multiply under your care so that they may spread your love throughout the earth. Amen.
Church together, and it started on a grand and glorious day when there was a confusion over the drinking of wine, and Peter said, no, God is at work. The Holy Spirit's in this place. 3,000 people came to faith, and when the Holy Spirit gets involved, you never know what might happen. So I'd invite you to pay attention to those opportunities to live out your baptism vows and note those moments when the Holy Spirit works, because I can tell you they will be worth remembering. Go forth this day to love God and serve your neighbor. Amen. And on the way out, if you'd like to see what Flat Jesus has been up to, you can see where Flat Jesus has been, and send in those photos, because the Spirit's working and so is Flat Jesus making his ways around. Amen. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.